Today's topic for Man Up the Podcast is bars. Yes, another B topic. We wanted to take a moment to talk about the dangers of bars. While yes, bars can be a great place to meet new people and have a good time, there are also many dangers. These dangers include less time spent with family, lower bank accounts, tequila shots, picking up a crazy chick, aka Taylor Swift, or taking a grenade for a friend. Remember though, no matter what, always drink responsibly and never drive drunk. Now, the start of Man Up the Podcast.
What's up, world? Weasel Weir here with Fred. This is Man Up the Podcast, where last week we talked about beards. The week before that was beer. We're just moving down the B's, and we're going to talk about bars this week, Fred.
There you go, bars now. Even though it's not in alphabetical order, though, so we apologize.
It's like the most jacked up alphabetical order we could find.
Yes. Now, to recap from last week, we talked a lot about your ginger beer, Weezer. Most people either hate it or hate it. There wasn't anybody in between.
No, and, you know, that's all right, world. I'll take it. We'll take our lumps. You know, this, you might want to watch out this weekend and Tuesday. We all get together. We all drink a bunch of beer. We all get all fighter-irished up.
You got to get off that soapbox, man. You're barely ginger. And so I think that leads me into my this segment of read hate mail that we've gotten since our last episode. I got one from Mike Up My Ass 234. It says,
"Whoa, where's Mike?" Heyo.
That's not his actual.
I think he found this one by this podcast, Man Up, by mistake. If you know what I mean.
This is I invented that just to give him a little hate back to him. Quote: "Here are my problems with the show. Why the hell don't you tell me what next week's topic is for next week? Also, Weezer is way too sensitive for being half ginger. He isn't even full ginger. So he's seen your picture, so that's good."
That's creepy.
Also, yeah, it's creepy. Also, Fred needs to get his man card removed for even thinking of having a Twitter account for his dog. Also, a peace sign greeting is stupid and one step away from doing the duck face. Stop it.
Well, Mike, I'm surprised that's all you found wrong with the show to begin with.
I found a lot more.
Yeah, you clearly haven't listened to every bit. Now, here's the thing. People, I try to tell people I'm not a ginger, but they say if you have any red, you're ginger. So there's no half ginger, or I'm full ginger, apparently.
Now, is a ginger if you don't have freckles?
Well, see, that's what I don't have freckles. I do have the paley white skin that will, like, if I'm in the sun for more than 12 minutes, I become walking skin cancer.
Melanoma tonight.
Yeah. I mean, I get sunburned by the moon.
Yeah, I don't think you're ginger. I don't think
I'm ginger, but I've been labeled, and I can't break it. No matter what, I've been labeled. I was going to shock everybody for this weekend at St. Patty's and shave my beard. And then what? People call me a ginger. Like, there's no red hair. Why do you keep calling him a ginger? But
yeah, that everyone thinks you're German, though. So you gotta embrace the Irish side, though.
Yeah, I gotta embrace my Irish side for these.
Irish. Are you full Irish or no?
I am. I got the test done. My sister spit into a cup and then sent it to Ancestry. And I'm actually like 20% Irish, 40-50% British.
Oh, that's so you're still within like the United Kingdom.
Yeah,
area.
I mean that like it says you could still be Irish, a little Scandinavian, a little West African.
Oh wow, yeah. Morocco, yeah. A little bit. Okay,
yeah. There's some other ones in there. A little German, a little French. It was a little bit of everything. A little Italian.
So you're just a mutt all around.
Yeah, all around, but it was mostly British and Irish and Scandinavian, who also has the.
Yes.
Beard. So I'm screwed anyway.
Hence why you're so freaking pale.
Yes.
Okay, so on to this week's topic, bars. Weezer, I know you know bars pretty well.
Fred, making your way in the world today takes everything you got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go
where everybody knows your name.
Bump, 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 bump. And they're always glad you came.
True. And if you didn't know, that was the theme song from Cheers.
And so, if you don't
perfect
know
segue.
That, you should know that. If yes, you don't you know that, you're not a man. Ted Danson is a man.
Ted Danson is a man. He has some of the best head of hair for his age, too.
He was in that, what, Three Men and a Baby? So you know that was he's a man because he was in a movie titled He Was a Man.
Sure. Sure.
Fred, you may not know this, but I'm doing this from a bar right now.
I can hear it. So what do you look for in a bar, Weezer?
I look for like an atmosphere. You know, I want to walk into a bar. I want to be like, everybody's having a good time. I still want that interaction of a bar. Like, I don't want to stand at a bar and wait 5 minutes for a drink. I want to be able to go up to the bar, get a drink. There's some music playing. People are laughing. Maybe a game's on. I just want that. I want an atmosphere. I want to have a good time when I walk in.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. It needs – well, for me, it needs to feel kind of homey.
Yeah.
You can kind of settle in for a while and not really have to feel like you got to move to the next bar or anything like that. It's like a really good Irish or German bar. That's kind of what I'm looking for.
A pub. You want a pub?
Yeah, I'm more of a pub guy. Yeah,
well, you know what the term pub comes from, right?
I don't, actually.
So pub, it started back in England. It's short for public house. So it was a spot for men to go to get away from their house. They would go down to the public house, and there would be alcohol and, you know, pool and all that stuff. And it was like, I'm going down to the pub. And so a pub is a public house, and it just got short to pub, you know, for there was no time to explain. I'm going to the public house. I'm going to the pub.
Did you do your research or something this week?
I never do research. I'm a walking vat of knowledge, Fred.
Wow. No wonder you're so good at trivia nights.
I am. And I've been to my fair share of pubs and bars.
So why do you go to bars?
Because sometimes you want to get away.
Why you're do an, I? You're an escape artist is what you're saying.
I am. Well, you know, my friends... they tend to drink a lot. And if you want to hang out with my friends, you got to go to a bar.
Touche.
So, and, you know, bars are just a good place, you know, to unwind after a long day.
I would agree. There's a book that I read back in college called The Tender Bar. It's by...
Tinder Bar? Are you swiping right on this one?
No, it's The Tender.
Oh, Tender.
See how it's playing words of bartender?
Yes.
It's The Tender Bar. Get it? Yes.
Get it.
So it's written by a guy named J.R. Moringer, who is, I believe he's an L.A. Times writer currently. But this prologue to the whole book, so kind of give you a synopsis of it, is this guy basically was abandoned by his dad and lived with his mother. Yeah. lived with his mother, grandmother, aunt, and five different female cousins. So he was surrounded by females. So his uncle's bar kind of became his place to grow up and be around guys. And he wrote a really good paragraph that I found really endearing. It says, started his whole book this way. We went there for everything we needed. We went there when thirsty, of course, and when hungry, and when dead tired. We went there when happy to celebrate, and when sad to sulk. We went there after weddings and funerals, for something to settle our nerves, and always for a shot of courage just before. We went there when we didn't know what we needed, hoping someone might tell us. We went there when looking for love or sex or trouble, or for someone who had gone missing, because sooner or later, everyone turned up there. Most of all, we went there when we needed to be found. I thought that's pretty good. I think that sums up a
lot of what
a bar is. It
really does sum up. Yeah, it really sums up. You know, like if you find a really good neighborhood bar, like a bar you go to every week, they become your friends. Like I go to this bar every Wednesday, and I've met the people that have gone there every Wednesday. And it's like, you know, if you don't see them on a Wednesday, you kind of get concerned. Like, everything all right? Where are you? You know?
Yeah, I wish I could say that, but I'm married now. Maybe that means I need to actually get out to get to the public house.
Yeah, just tell her you're going to the public house. It's the neighborhood public house.
It's okay. It's the
public house. It
doesn't
sound like a bar. It doesn't sound like a pub. And if she doesn't listen, which let's hope, you can get away with it.
Yeah, I definitely like the feeling of the neighborhood. Well, I have mixed feelings of neighborhood bars. Sometimes the old towny bars get a little too towny for me. I, I it like, I don't know, if it smells like 1965 cigarette smoke 9 out of 10 times, I'm probably not going to like it.
Yeah.
But it definitely has to have, like I was saying, that good feeling of a bar where you sit in, you relax, the atmosphere is jovial, everyone's trying to have a good time. The bartender's actually interacting with you, and you're not trying to fight your way to the front to even get a stupid drink.
As I've gotten older, I've found that I like myself to be – I used to go to the bars where there was like 300 people, and you're like, yeah, this is awesome, you know, a drink every hour because that's how long it took. Now I hate crowds.
Oh, yeah, me too. I'm getting – as we get older.
Yeah, as we get older.
It's a sign of how old we're getting.
I know.
We're hating crowds.
It's like back then, you're like, oh, there's so many awesome people that were dancing. And now it's like, I just want a drink. I want to be, just give me a drink.
If you have to have a strategy to get a drink.
Yeah.
Like, oh, if I make sure I make eye contact with the bartender this time with this much. No.
I'm going to get three beers right now, so I'm good for the hour.
So then with that, the big debate of cocktail bar versus beer hall.
Which do you prefer? It's tough. Like, I do enjoy a good microbrew. Like, you know, going to a, you know, local microbrew, but I'll just take a regular bar that has beer and cocktails. And because it depends on my mood. I might be feeling a little frisky. Might go for the whiskey.
Oh, wow. Ooh. Wow, Wizard.
If I want to here, I might take a beer.
Man, thank God you don't rap for a living.
Not anymore.
I will have to say I'm definitely more of a beer hall guy. I appreciate cocktail bars. I appreciate the artistry that comes with crafting cocktail, but it has to be like a good cocktail bar where these guys are so good they don't actually need a menu item just to go through, okay, what's this. So any place that says, tell me what you like and I'll invent one for you, I love going there just to see how creative they can get. But I've been to the greatest beer hall in all the world, which is Hofbrauhaus Beer Hall in München, Germany. And you can't pass up that atmosphere.
Right.
It was ridiculous. There was the five old guys playing polka in the corner in their lederhosen.
That's
it's fantastic.
That's
time.
Where the atmosphere comes back to, like, it's all about what's going on in the bar.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't by any means was it just like, okay, here's a table over here, here's a table over there. It was like everybody, none of us spoke the same freaking language, but we're all still having a really good time listening to these five old guys playing polka.
Right.
I mean, even if all the ladies going up trying to take selfies with the tuba guy while he's playing, he's making funny faces at them. He's not trying to ignore them. So it's everyone was having a really, really good time, and it was awesome.
Yeah, it reminds me of when I was in Lisbon, Portugal, this area called Bartos Altos. And what it is, it's this long street that has hundreds of bars on it. But the bars are as big as probably your living room in your apartment, Fred. Not that big.
Really?
Right?
Really?
So it has a bar and it has maybe a spot for about 5 or 6 people to stand in. So what happens is there's so many people here, everybody just flows out into the street. It's one big street like part, and you just walk into a bar, you get a drink, and you just keep walking up and down. It's one of the cooler spots on earth to drink.
No open container laws?
No open container laws in Lisbon. No, not at all. No, they have an empty container law. They can't be empty.
A little guy comes running up and pours your gun.
You're halfway done. Here you go, sir.
Finish it off. Finish the beer. So now, what is your favorite bar in the world?
That is tough because I've been to so many. Like, there was one of those bars over there on Lisbon called The Kitchen. And the guy, the bartender, loved – he was like, oh, Americans, I love speaking English. Come in. Make your own drink. He was like, go ahead. He was like, went back there, and you made your own drink. And the Red Bull and vodka he made me back when I was drinking those was the most deadliest drink I think I ever had. It was like a full pint glass of vodka with a splash of Red Bull. I was like –
jeez.
I was like, man, I need more Red Bull. I'm going to die on the streets of Lisbon, which I almost did later on in the week. It's hard to say my favorite bar. I like that bar we went to in Minnesota for your wedding, that soccer bocce ball bar.
Yeah.
That's just a cool bar. It was a cool atmosphere. But I think my favorite bar in the world is whatever bar I'm at in that moment.
There you go. That's good. There's a couple bars that float back and forth in my head. If you're talking about street, I have to bring up another street that was what I think the coolest place I've ever been for like a bar district, and that was in Austin, Texas. Have you ever been to Austin, Wheeler?
I haven't, but I've heard so many great things about it.
I mean, Austin is so it's like cool version of Seattle. Because Seattle likes to think they're cool, but they're not really that cool. They're not as weird and fun and laid back as like Austin is. Seattle is like weird and yet passive aggressive, business oriented. It's kind of weird. But in Austin, they have this street called Rainy Street Bars, and there's like 8, 10, I don't know, tons of bars on this one street called Rainy. And the story that they tell down there, and if I'm inaccurate, somebody please write in. But the story is that this district on Rainy Street was a Latino, historically Latino district, and it was actually like labeled that, so you couldn't tear it down and rebuild stuff. But this woman went in, this investor, and bought up all of these properties and didn't tear down the houses, but then made all of the houses into bars.
That's awesome.
So you walk in the front door and you're in like the living room, but yet there's the bar. And then the kitchen is like a beer pong place. And because it's Texas and they have great weather, you walk out the back door and they have a sandpit volleyball. Or like the next bar over, or next house, which is the next bar over, is like a sit down movie screen in the back. And the next one is like beer pong in the back. I mean, it's just ridiculous how these little houses turned into these bars. I loved it.
Fred, you know what I think we need to do? We need to first we get a few more sponsors, and why don't we make the quest to find the best bar in the world?
If I would love that. That would be fantastic.
That's our goal. So if you want to help us out, please donate. You can donate on our Podomatic page. Click donate. Yes. Help us find the best bar in the world. So it's research for you.
It's research. We're doing the hard work for you.
We
do
the hard work for you. You don't have to go to all these bars to find the best. We'll do it for you.
We'll do it for you.
Yeah.
Now, there is – that was a very good segue, by the way, Weezer, too.
I'm a trained professional.
Oh, you are. A list called The World's 50th Best Bars 2014. At www.worlds50bestbars.com.
Sounds like they've done the work for us.
I don't trust their list.
I don't trust their list. I don't like any of the bars I see on this list.
No, it seems a little too frou-frou.
Pinkies up.
Yeah, a little pinkies up. Now, the number one bar here is called Artesian in London.
I walked by it. I've seen it.
You've seen it?
I've seen it.
What did you see when you saw it?
I saw prices that didn't look so good for my wallet. bank account we talked about in the disclaimer?
Gone.
I would have had to take out a loan.
The second mortgage.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it is London. Everything is extremely expensive in London.
Yes.
Of the 50 bars on this list, 8 of them are in London and 7 of them are in New York. So that sounds pretty fitting for this list. Most cocktail bars, that seems kind of like headquarters for that.
Yeah, this list here, these bars don't seem like the types of bars I would, you know, want to go to that much. The atmosphere seems quiet. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it doesn't feel friendly. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't feel
I'm judging. I've never been to any of these, but just look, it feels stuffy.
You went to one, didn't you?
Well, looking at it now,
American?
I thought I went to the American bar, but looking at it closer, it doesn't look as familiar as I thought.
Wah, wah. I've actually been to one. Number 6 on the list is Cannon in Seattle, Washington. It's over in the Capitol Hill neighborhood. What makes Cannon unique is that they have arguably a record for most largest body of distilled liquor in their bar. They claim to have 3,300 unique bottles of liquor in their bar, which is ridiculous.
And overkill.
I don't know, because they know how to make a freaking cocktail.
If you work there, like, how do you decide? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's good? I don't know. There's 3,300 bottles. Just pick one.
Well, I mean, they probably have like their standards they go to, but
yeah, it's all rail when you get there.
Yeah. Even the amount of bitters rail. They have.
Yeah.
If you look at any of their pictures, I mean, just the amount of like handcrafted bitters for all of their cocktail drinks, it's just ridiculous. They even have a way where you can reserve, you can pay to get in. So you don't have to wait in line. You can actually reserve a spot and pay for it. It's not free to reserve at all. But it is really, really cool. They have, right off the top of my head, they have two really creative cocktails. One is cookies and milk, where it actually comes in a lunch pail, like an old fashioned like comic book lunch pail. You open it up and it has like this alcohol version of milk with cookies.
Huh, that's interesting.
And, yeah, but the coolest one that always gets everyone's attention when you're in there is they have a drink called Campfire in Georgia. Hmm. And what they do, they take a glass and they put it on a tray and they put wood chips around it and light the wood chips on fire and put a glass dome over it. So you're literally smoking the glass. So the smoke fills up the dome and smokes the glass up. And then they throw in the cocktail, which is kind of like a spicier tequila, if I'm thinking if I think about it correctly. And then they re-smoke it again. And so then they serve it to you on the platter with the dome on it and open the dome and release the smoke in your face. And it smells like campfire.
Good segue there. Hey, Mike, next week's topic's camping. Just so you know.
Yeah, go back to hate mail. Yeah. That's our topic.
That's camping. Our topic, camping.
There.
You jerk.
Take that, Mike. Jerk. Yeah.
But no, that's kind of cool. A smoky drink, huh?
Yeah.
Have you ever had a flaming Dr. Pepper? It's a shot. We almost burnt a bar down doing those. My buddy spilt it, and the top of the bar was on fire. It's a shot. After you light it on fire, it tastes like a Dr. Pepper.
Do you drink it with it on fire?
No, you blow it out, and it after it reacts with the fire, it tastes like Dr. Pepper. Well, as it was on fire, he went for it to take a photo, knocked them all over, and the alcohol was just burning on top of the bar. That's the one time we almost burned down a bar.
One time. Yeah. Let's make sure it doesn't happen again.
Yeah. All right.
I will say Cannon is really good. The bartenders are friendly. They work with you. But I will say it's not a place that you go every night or you feel like you could settle in with friends for a long time.
How much is the campfire? What's that running?
I thought it was around like $12.
That's not too bad, though, for a show. You get a show with it.
Yeah. It's definitely a show and it's kind of an ooh, ah, watch the person that gets it. But because of the smoke, it actually leaves kind of like a smoky residue on your fingers. Looks like you were like smoking. Your fingers like turn yellow. It's
do you smell it? Do you smell like smoke the rest of the night too? Like a cigar bar? You just smell terrible.
No, you don't smell. You smell like a campfire. Like
oh, that's good a good smell.
Yeah. The good manly candle smell is good.
All right, Fred, before we wrap up bars here. There's a lot of great fictional bars out there in the world.
Yes.
From TVs, movies. If you could go to any fictional bar in the world, what would it be?
I mean, I think the most famous fictional bar is Cheers.
Oh, it's got to be, yeah. Who wouldn't want to go
there?
It's
got to be the most famous.
Sounds like a great time. Cliff, Norm.
Frasier.
Frasier. Woody, Coach.
Now, I'm going to have to go with one of my favorite movies, The Blues Brothers.
Yes.
Their first gig back, they sneak their way in to be in the band at Bob's Country Bunker. And I really want to go there just because they played behind a chicken wire fence and everybody got to throw all their beer bottles at the fence and it exploded everywhere. It would seem like a good time.
It seems like a crazy night. I would be throwing bottles. Wouldn't you like to go to a bar and just chuck something?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I can get fully behind all the country and westerns music.
No, me either.
I need a little bit mix beyond that. But be able to watch John Belushi, you know, crack that whip during Rawhide, I would pay a lot of points for that.
That's great. I think mine would have to be from my favorite TV show of all time, Mel's Tavern, where the elite meet to drink.
I just knew you were going to pick that one.
A nice ice cold Duff or the German Duffe, and you know, a flaming Moe, anything I could set on fire. I'm telling you, Moe's sit there with Homer, Lenny and Carl, and of course, I can't think of his name right now.
Now, how does Moe's compare to Family Guy's The Drunken Clam?
It's a nice copyright almost, doesn't it? No.
Touche.
Mo just seems like, you know, one of my favorite lines. It's like a lady ordered a vodka and water, and he goes, "In my bar, that's just called a vodka," because the whole vodka is already watered down. But there's a lot of fiction. McLaren's Pub, I think that'd be good.
Yeah, McLaren's would be good too.
So, all right, we've done bars. We'll probably do our segment 50 Greatest Bars in the World, done by us. Donate. This is Man Up the Podcast. Hey, Fred, is there anywhere on the interwebs where we can find out more about this podcast?
Well, yes, Weezer, there is. ManUpThePodcast.com or on Facebook and Twitter at ManUpThePodcast. And coming soon, Tinder.
Swipe right!
Welcome back to Man Up the Podcast. My name's Fred, that's Weezer. On segment two of Man Up the Podcast, we try to talk about man code, rules for men to live by.
So they can,
stop the bras. Rules men can live by so that they don't get their man card revoked. We're going to cover two rules today. This is brought to you by a poster that was in a bathroom. A men's room. And but at the very bottom it says International Council of Man Laws, supporting a dude's right to be a dude since 1979.
Oh man.
So we're only going to cover the 9 and the 10 today. So number 9, no man shall ever be required to buy a birthday present for another man. In fact, even remembering thy buddy's birthday is strictly optional.
I like this. I agree. But I want to make an amendment to the commandment. You should, if it's a friend's birthday, you don't have to buy him a gift, but you should offer to buy a beer and possibly a shot. That's a reminder for any of my friends listening that my birthday is Saturday. A beer and a shot.
By the way, Weezer's birthday is Saturday. What's your birthday, Weezer?
What? That's March 14th.
March 14th, which is also
314 Day in St. Louis.
There you go.
Also,
or Pi Day.
Pi Day, and it's it's the most extreme Pi Day you could have. It's 31415. So it goes deeper for all you nerds out there.
Wow! Wow!
But I think Facebook has made this rule here a little different, you know, because Facebook will remind you of a friend's birthday. So I know yours is in June, right, Fred?
July.
Damn.
It's okay. You're not supposed to know. It's okay.
But I'd like to know when my friend's birthday are, just to, you know, Facebook helps. I love Facebook now.
But do you go out and get somebody stuff?
No, I'm not buying you anything. Hell
what
no.
About a card? Not even a card?
No, I save cards for weddings, and I feel weird if I gave you a card, Fred, wouldn't it? It's like, happy birthday. that's too much man sharing.
Now what about going for the other sex, for a woman? Is it, do you have to buy, like, not girlfriend? Not wives, because obviously that is very required. You have to know all
Fred,
dates.
We're grown men. I feel like the last time you should have to buy a friend a present is at their 14th birthday party at Chuck E.
Even
Cheese.
Even a girl who is a friend.
It depends. If it's a really good friend and you see – here's like – if I buy a gift for a friend, it's like more of like it's an inside joke, or it's something like – that's how I would buy a gift. Like if I saw – if I saw a little statue of a little ginger man, or like a ginger, I'll buy a friend a bag of ginger snaps. That's my inside joke. If you call me a ginger all the time, you're going to get some ginger snaps. You know, it's inside jokes are how I find gifts.
And so your big gift is a beer and a shot.
Yeah, I mean, what more do you want, right?
Are you mean with a shot? Do you get a really shitty shot, or is it a nice shot?
I go nice Because I always like that karma, you know? What comes around goes around. If you start giving everybody this, then I've been on the end, and I've probably gotten the worst shot out of one of those situations. I don't want to do that again.
What's your go-to shot?
For a birthday, Jameson.
That's kind of rough, though. That's not like an easy shot. That's one of the Irish wise men.
Yeah, but if you're a man, Fred, you can take it. Well,
some people out there are not men.
I guess because my birthday always falls on St. Patty's Day, and that's what people always buy me because it's probably on sale, which I don't mind. If it's a deal, go for it.
Back home, I used to do Goldschlager. That was my go-to.
Oh, see, that's a terrible shot.
If it's like Christmas, coming down the throat into the stomach. But out here, though, they don't really have as much Goldschlager, but they have tons of Fireball.
Fireball's the go-to shot now.
Yeah, that's really the go-to shot everywhere.
And, boy, I'll tell you, too many of those, I don't remember the night.
All right, so the second man code we wanted to make sure we covered was never hesitate to reach for the last beer or the last slice of pizza, but never both.
So, what's the situation here? Is like, for the last beer, is it like, so you have a bucket. Is another bucket coming? See, in this situation, this is what I'll do. I'll grab the last beer and I'll order the next bucket.
Well, there you go. See, you're a good man. Feel like you need to fill what you've killed. Now, here's the, what about pizza? Like, do you food too? Because usually food, you're not reordering food.
Right. If it depends, like, who I'm with. I always offer, it's like, last piece. If you want it, it's yours. I always like, that's yours if you want it. And then that person's nice. No, you can have it. And they're like, no, I insist you take it. And nobody eats.
So you're really being a passive-aggressive asshole, basically.
Yeah. I mean,
where really you want to eat it, but you're trying to like, no, I don't want it. I don't want it.
Like, then they take you like, fucking asshole. That was my
Now, the ladies will never, ever take the last of anything.
No.
And I mean, it's like a standard female rule. They don't want to seem, what's a nice way to say? Well, I'm struggling here. I want to say something.
Come on, Fred. Yeah, go ahead.
They don't.
Kelly's not listening. She never listens. What do you want to say, Fred?
They don't want to seem like they are overindulging. Ooh, see, there you go.
Got it.
I saved it. I didn't think
he was going to do it.
They don't want to seem like they're overindulging by taking the last piece of pizza or the last beer.
Sometimes that's where you just like take the last beer, put it in front of them, and force them to drink it.
That's true. You can assign them.
Yeah. Sometimes it's good. Like, sometimes you also could just like keep track. Like, he's had three. He's had three. I've had two. So that means it's mine, you know? Something like
that. Oh, of course. Yes. If you're trying to keep everything even. Yeah. Now, what if we go past pizza? What if we're talking like nachos, where we're even talking about like the toppings left on the plate?
That's free for all there. Once the chips are gone, it's all fair. Like, you just get a fork and you kind of share, you know, just like, I guess it's like the division. Like, if this is on my side, that's mine. If it's on your side, that's yours.
Do you scrape the cheese off the plate?
Not the cheese, but if there's like some meat or with the cheese, if there's like some chicken on, you know, you can go ahead and eat that. But if you're like peeling the cheese off the like little wax paper, you've gone too far.
Now, what about the one nacho rule, where as many chips that sticks to the one chip equals one nacho?
Yeah, that's like, you get in there and you pull out a chip and there's three chips with it. That counts as one nacho.
Now, how many chips make it still keep it as one nacho? If the whole frickin' nacho comes up with it.
That's a quality nacho. It's not nachos anymore. It's nacho.
It's just and nacho.
For your friend, that's nacho nachos.
Sorry, I ordered this for the whole table, but apparently the nachos want to stick with me.
I'm telling you, the one chip has stuck in a wonderful glory of cheese and meat and beans, and it's all mine. I'm sorry, it's the fate.
Okay, so that's been Man Codes with Man Up the Podcast. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Man Up the Podcast. Weezer Weir with Fred Weinfurt. It's time for our favorite segment, Man Up. This is where we find men in the world that need to man up. And Fred, I'll go number two on this one if you want to go first.
Okay, that's a little foreshadowing for you, ladies and gentlemen. My least manly moment of the week is, there's no article that I've got, but I've got to throw it out. Every single guy that actually on purpose sat down and watched The Bachelor.
Fred, were you one of those guys? Were
no,
you
I was not.
Does Kelly watch it?
Oh, Kelly, watch. She has a weekly date with girls to watch it together.
Oh, man.
And when they switch houses and they'll come over here and watch it. And I will make sure I very quickly leave and go elsewhere.
Head to the public house.
Yeah, or head to the public house. Or take my dog to the dog park or go for a run or anything that takes up more than an hour. Because it's not just that they watch it, but they also stick around and debate it afterwards. So it's more of, I don't know if they want to feel more a part of the show or what, but yeah, but man up to every single guy who decided to sit down and watch the season finale of The Bachelor this past week.
You sent out a great tweet. It was a comedian claiming that he would watching that. Now he wants to join ISIS. I mean, why America hates us now because of The Bachelor.
Yeah, this was from Remsterdam. At Remick Benici, I don't know. Said, watching The Bachelor finale with my dad makes me want to join ISIS just a little more. Ouch.
He's a comedian, folks. He's not really going to join ISIS.
Not, well, I hope not, but
don't report him. But, you know, if Bachelor goes every day of the week, we might be forced to.
Yes, yes.
All right,
I will say, so some of those women are fairly attractive, and that if there was an option between the dating scene that I had at bars and in college and actually having 30 women vying for my attention, well, I'd take it.
That's just called Friday night at the local bar for me, Fred. Take a number. Here's a rose. Oh, yeah.
My
God. I don't know anything about the show. I just know there's some crazy-ass bitches.
And I got to say, just to reference last week, the best joke from last week, does the carpet match the drapes, Weezer?
No, nothing but hardwood down there.
There you go, ladies. Line up for him. Line up for him.
I got a rose. Ginger rose. All right. I'm apologizing now for laughing through this story. This is about to get a little crappy here. I found the shittiest story I could find. We're going to take this to a new level. Let me just read the headline for my man that needs a man up this week.
From who's it from?
This is from the Huffington Post. You're a worldwide leader in weird news. Can I say that? ESPN's going to come after me now, aren't they?
No, because you added weird news, so it's
okay. Yeah. All right, here's the headline. I'm already laughing. Akron poopetrator craps on at least 19 cars. Police in Akron, Ohio are desperately searching for a serial poopetrator who has been terrorizing residents by pooping on and sometimes even in unsuspecting victims' cars. Since 2012, this is 3 years of a man pooping on people's cars. There's been at least 19 reports of a feces appearing on the hoods, the handles, and if you're unlucky and left that car unlocked, the seats of your car. Well, guess what? The poopetrator has been caught on film, pants down, shitting on a neon.
And if you look at the picture, ladies and gentlemen, he is deer in headlights, half trow, and thank God there's a little box blocking the back end of the...
The man who caught him on tape, who he went unidentified, said he had messed with the wrong guy. I took his photo every 12 seconds for 2 weeks, watching him crap on people's cars.
Apparently the guy crapped on his daughter's car 6 times.
He looks like a deer in the headlights with his pants halfway down, marking his territory.
Oh, my God.
If you go to Huffington Post, it's the top story. Look up poopetrator. They have a nice map of where he's left his territory. And just if you have any information, please contact police at
320-996-3000.
3580. Together, we can put an end to this madness and put the Pooba Trader behind bars. So I've had the Brisket Bandit and now the Pooba Trader. I want my listeners, I will read any crime with a weird news. So if you're listening and you want to be the next Pooba Trader, don't be the – that's already been done. Come up with something clever, and I'll read about you on Man Up the Podcast.
But how do you beat the Pooba Trader?
I don't know. I think I've topped it. We're, what, four episodes in? We're done. So we
reached the mountaintop.
The Pooba Trader.
The shit mountaintop.
Man. I'm glad I went number two there, Fred. Save the best for last. Really squeezed out that one. Remember to always wipe. And I'm running out of crappy jokes.
It's okay.
All right.
So now to the most manly moment. What do you got, Weezer?
It might be the Pooba Trader. No, I'm going to go with my man Will Ferrell doing with only a few people have ever done. I don't know if you heard about what's going on in spring training on Thursday. Will Ferrell is playing all nine positions for nine different teams. Now, Fred, only a few people have all played all nine positions a game. You got secret weapon for the Cardinals, Jose Oquendo. You got Buster Posey did it in college. And Weezer Weir did it for the St. Louis Devils back at KAA.
Wow,
so
look at you.
Only four great athletes have ever done this, and I think Will Ferrell might be the greatest athlete of them all. So he's for nine different teams suiting up and playing. I can't wait to see what this looks like for a funnier die video. So that's my man moment of the week. He joins an exclusive club.
My manly moment of the week has to be one of the coolest ones that I've found since we started doing this. Wait, 90
better than the Pooba Trader?
Yes. Well, I don't know. It's manly. It's not like embarrassing, like the Pooba Trader.
That's pretty manly.
Let's just say it.
There's a bear shit in the woods? No, but the Pooba Trader does.
He doesn't shit in the woods. He shits on a neon.
Shits on hoods, not in the woods. Yes.
95-year-old Charles Oogster. Is that how you'd say it, Weezer?
Yeah, I think Oogster.
Oogster, sure. He broke, well, obliterated the 95 and over world indoor record for sprinting 200 meters.
Wait a minute. There's a record for 95 and older?
Yeah.
I feel like if you get out of the couch and you're 95, that's a record.
That is a record. That's really good. But yeah, he ran like 95 and he ran around this track for 200 meters and he set the record at 55.48 seconds.
Holy crap.
Which broke the earlier record that was set in 2013 by Orville Rogers at 57.88.
Oh, he knocked off 2 seconds.
Yeah. So for 95 years old, I mean, I feel like this guy's going to have a heart attack before he even gets a quarter of the way, but he makes it and lives on. So on his website, he gives general tips for winning at life. So listen up, Weezer. Quote, successful aging requires work, diet, and exercise. The huge mental and physical potential of the aged remains unexplored. Bodies can now be rebuilt at any age, and a new life started. So, Weezer, are you living up to those winning tips for life?
I'll tell you what. It says here he didn't start exercising until his 80s. I'm about to turn 30 on Saturday. So I got 50 years to start exercising, and then I'll get it.
You have 50 years to break his record.
You know what the most impressive thing about this at 95 is he still have yet to see the Cubs win a World Series.
Touche.
Oh, man. That's impressive. All right. So this has been this week's episode. Next week, for Mike out there, once again, we're going to cover camping. We got two different styles. Fred, an Eagle Scout. A guy that just likes to drink in the woods. So, for Fred and the Pooba Trader, I'm Weezer Weir. This has been the shitty version of Man Up the Podcast.